What's landed?
What's landed? Well, it's not from me, by the way. It's a sample.
I sent that email. I was very polite. And I said, I'm in the market for 200 tea towels. Basically, we need to get tea towels for a podcast that we look after. And they need to be nice, sustainable. They also need to actually dry things. Yeah. This company have sent us stacks of tea towels.
I'm drawn to this one, mainly because it's the cheapest.
Do you think that's the right size for what we want? I think so.
Yeah.
It's a good size.
Do they come in different sizes? Tea towel's a tea towel, right?
I don't know.
Here we are, another week, another episode of Gas Bags. Welcome, Anna and Sophie here.
We chat about our small non-profit business, we listen to nice sounds, we swap podcasts, all from our podcasting studio, Soundyard.
In good bits, we got tea towel tests, and we receive 100k, sort of. And when illness can work in your favour, but then in bad bits, when it really doesn't.
Found sound comes from Anna this week, and apparently we're going to church.
Certainly are. And the podcast I have for you is a yoga podcast, far from relaxing, but transformational.
And my podcast takes you inside, being on the inside, stateside. How has our week been?
I think it's been okay. I can't remember a great deal of it. I don't know whether it's to do with spring. But everything's going very quickly and I'm not necessarily observing all the days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that.
We had a good bit at the beginning of the week. Now, it's not good to benefit from somebody else's misfortune, but we have a regular booking on a Monday and Tuesday night. And unfortunately, the person who leads those sessions was not very well, just a bit poorly, under the weather, not able to do it. And we'd usually come in for those two sessions and do admin, business admin, all those really boring things. But we didn't. And I said, well, let's not come in. Let's have a whole Monday not here. And it was quite nice, actually.
I really like an unexpected bit of time back. I love a cancellation, even if it's something I'm looking forward to or invested lots of money in. If I was about to go on like a 12-day holiday and I had been looking forward to it for 10 months and I'd spent my life savings on it, if someone at the very last minute said, I'm sorry, it's cancelled, there's a part of me that would jump for joy. What is that about?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I was once, this happened very last minute, I was once going to, sort of going on holiday with a group of people, and I got to the airport and my passport was out of date. Okay, well, I'm not going anymore, but what can I do with this week of freedom? I went lambing. I did loads of stuff.
You went lambing?
I ended up lambing, but that doesn't matter. And I remember lambing very well, and it was lovely. So that was an unexpected good bit.
We've had some brilliant news for one of the podcasts that we do weekly. We look after Chris Skinner's Countryside podcast. It's all about Chris. He's a farmer, a nature lover. He has a farm that's been in his family for generations.
But he farms wildlife as much as he farms crops. In the 6 months that he's been creating that with us, it has now received 100,000 downloads.
Woo.
Hence the tea towels.
Yes.
I mean, everyone likes a bit of merch. So, yeah.
Now, bad bits wise, I am aware that this is turning into a health and ailments corner.
Warts and all.
Of the podcast. Yeah. I don't want to rename it Warts and All, but... I will moan for a moment about health. I have long COVID and I've had it for 2 years. And I had COVID, the actual virus was fine, didn't feel like much at all. And then 10 days later, I got really intense double vision, lots of neurological problems. Thought I had a brain tumour or I'd had a stroke or had MS. It turns out to be long COVID.
It was a scary time, wasn't it?
It was awful, yeah. Brain fog is the other massive I'd forgotten about the brain fog symptom because of my brain fog, which makes it quite challenging. I was having to, because of our freelance nature as well, I was having to go and still present on radio without being able to find really normal words. I'm really thankful that for the most part, I've been left with permanent double vision and brain fog, like a lot of the time, and the rest of the time I'm fine. But this week I've had a flare up of all of the kind of other lovely neurological bits with it too, that affects my body as well, and had to take some time at home when I was supposed to be in.
I love that on the day that you were like, I'm not going to come in, you then came in and achieved absolutely nothing. I mean, 10 points for effort.
It was awful. It's a really good example of brain fog, I think.
Yeah.
So you said to me, do you know what you could do? A good physical task if you just want to go and do something is go and pay these checks in. We've got a bunch of checks. We have to walk down to Roy's, which is a shop that has a post office in a bit down the road on Magdalen Street. There's always a massive queue for the post office. Mm. But I was like, that's fine. I'll put some music on and go and do that. Went to Roy's, waited in the queue for ages, got to the front of the queue. Thought, I will prepare myself for this person at the counter and I will get these checks ready. And I went into my bag and searched frantically and thought, oh God, I haven't brought them.
The fact that you'd waited all that time in the queue and then realised, but then you've got the hot sweats, haven't you? Because you're like, now I'm keeping other people waiting, looking for something that I should have looked for ages ago.
I genuinely had, I think they were cold sweats by that point. I was just like, I also had the walk of shame having to leave a queue that I've been in for 25 minutes. For no good, I just fancy queuing today, actually. It's so nice to be part of a community. Thanks for having me.
Just for them to go, I'm sorry, I haven't got them. Just walk off.
And then I got back to Soundyard. You were busy in here recording and I went into our office, but I thought, oh my God, I can't find them. Where have I put these checks and my bank card for our business account? I couldn't find them anywhere. More cold sweats.
I've lost them en route.
Look, yeah, that's what I thought. I've dropped a whole week salary on the floor twice in cash before when I worked in London. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that I could have dropped this
note
check.
Note to self.
Yeah,
only Anna is to deal
ask
with
me to
the
do
cash.
The checks again. As a last resort, I thought, I'll just look through the bag one more time. It's a small bag. I know they're not in there, but just to settle my mind, and I opened my bag.
Is it like your fanny pack?
My fanny pack. And the checks were in there. I'd taken them on an outing to the post office, shown them round, so they get a sense of what might happen to them in the future, and walked all the way back here.
Cold sweats twice.
Yeah, two cold sweats.
You went home then. I'm not meant to be here today. No. That was your body's message to you.
I'm not functioning as an adult today. I'm going to extract myself. Basically, it got me thinking about people that manage chronic illness who are dealing with it on a much more frequent basis and probably a much more debilitating basis, because I feel lucky that of my symptoms, I can actually still work through most of the time.
I should think that is just very, very difficult. I should think there are probably a lot of drugs involved. Mm. My dad had chronic pain during his working years and retirement years, and the whole family feels it. It's not just their pain to manage, because you're not the parent that you want to be. My sister also has an autoimmune disease that can prevent her being as physical as she'd like to be with her family and kids. And again, that flares up, triggered by stress, which then, of course, you've got this cycle of pain and stress and not being able to join in. It's very difficult. And then in a business angle as well, there are those, for you, unreasonable thoughts of guilt, because the following week I'll have a root canal done, and you know, it all balances out. And that's the benefit of having two people in a business. That would feel really overwhelming, wouldn't it, without one of us?
Totally. I'm really thankful that we both run this business.
But there might be people listening who, similar to you, have these moments of like chronic fatigue, illness, brain fog, all of those sorts of things, and they might be doing business on their own. And just how do they manage that? Do they recognise in themselves that, you know, when something is going to change and work extra hard in that time beforehand? Or, you know, I'm fascinated as to how people manage it. So if that's you, get in touch.
hello@soundyard.org.
My found sound this week is a place that I don't usually go to, truth be told. My mum, bless her, just a bit of a backstory here, took part in the World Day of International Day of Prayer. It happens every year on the first Friday of March. Essentially, it's a church service that has informed prayer in it, and the congregation seek out ways to act in solidarity with women and communities in need from across the world. So it goes to a different country each year. It's an ecumenical service, so it's lots of different Christian groups all coming together. And she was really worried, because she was part of organising it, that no one would show up. So I showed willing and went along to support her and took baby Billy along for the laughs.
I bet it was as well. It's
a challenging place as a parent to take a child that is young. It sort of pushes every button of, oh, I just need to leave now because he's making noises. And they're not meant to make noises, but they are. I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyway, the church was enormous, and you could fill it with half the country and it would still look empty. So I don't really know what she was worrying about. It was fine. The few people turned up, which was good. It was freezing. But it was a nice service. It was written and it was reflecting on women that are currently living in Palestine. So it's really poignant moments of the service. Like, whether you're religious or not, it's just good, isn't it, to consider life from another part of the world, especially there. So Billy typically was playing with the toys, the fire engine at the end of the church, which was fine. I was there with him. And the vicar got up, who was using the CD player at the back. And it was just a lovely moment, and I thought I would record a little bit of it for our found sound this week. I just like the sound of something's happening a long way away. You've got a little one near you who is taking it in. And it's such a huge place as well. I'm always amazed at how children do actually stay quiet in some environments when they need to.
I've never experienced that, I don't think.
That's so funny. Well, it started well, the service, and it was all going very well. It got to near the end, and I was like, oh, great, they've got cake. They're getting the cakes out. I was like, fantastic. And all of a sudden, there was more disruption, but not from my end, thank goodness. Over the tannoy, which you can hear on there, the speaker system they've got, all of a sudden, someone started talking about Alan Titchmarsh on top of the service, coming through the speakers.
Right.
And the vicar at the back was going, what's going on? What's going on? Who's talking about Alan Titchmarsh?
He's been playing off his phone.
So, well, this is what I thought. I was going, right, I need to go and help this man, because he looks like he's panicking. He's panicking a little bit, as I would. You don't, you know, Alan Titchmarsh, whatever his faith, it doesn't need to be going out under. It wasn't Alan Titchmarsh. Someone just talking about Alan Titchmarsh, rose bushes, raffles, really
it's
weird.
It's very confusing.
My ears pricked up instantly because I was like, this is hilarious. This service, we've got something else entirely going out over the speakers. And it was just wonderful. And I wandered over after he was like silently bashing the CD player, thinking, yeah, I was like, it's not the CD player. And bless him, he was really losing it. So I was like, is your phone on Bluetooth? Just turn off your Bluetooth. Because if it is that, sometimes when you connect a device to something, for whatever reason, whatever was playing or recording, goes out into the world on that speaker that you're near. No one understands why. It's the magic of Bluetooth. And I was like, that's probably what's happening. Like, it's not that. It's not that. I know it's not that. And I was like, oh, gosh, what if it is? And like, thank goodness it was nothing explicit. Can you imagine? Oh, turns out that the microphone that he had turned on was on the same frequency of the village hall just over the way where it was the U3A meeting. And so the rest of the U3A meeting was broadcast through the World Day of Prayer in North Walsham Church.
Unexpected collaboration.
But it was lovely. It just brought me a lot of joy. So that's my found sound, is in a church before chaos ensued.
Podcast swap time.
Hey.
I'm going to start podcast swap with a bit of news. Back in episode 2 of Gas Bags, which is called Death Happens, I told you about a podcast called The Girlfriends, which is a true crime documentary. It's more of a narrative podcast, and it's about Carol Fisher talking about her ex-boyfriend alongside his ex-girlfriends, and they try to get to the bottom of what happened to Bob's wife, who went missing. It could just stand alone as a series. It's fully formed. But the really exciting podcast news this week from Novel Podcasts, who produce it, The Girlfriends, are back. Yeah. A second series is going to be returning in May, so not very long. Carol Fisher's hosting it again, and there's a little bonus episode filling you in on the details that you can listen to now, wherever you get your podcasts. So if you did go with that recommendation, or if you are going to, be aware, season 2 coming soon.
Yeah, it's a good warm-up to it, isn't it, the next one? Yeah,
exactly.
Exciting.
Okay, so my podcast this week is one that you and I have both listened to, and I love. And I think that it is a really exceptional standout podcast. It's called Ear Hustle. It's produced by Radiotopia. And it's hosted by Nigel Poor, who's a visual artist, and Erlon Woods, who was an inmate at San Quentin State Prison in the United States, in California. When the podcast started in 2017, Erlon was still incarcerated and isn't anymore. But it came about because Nigel was doing a photography class in the prison and ended up really enjoying teaching in there and wanted to work with inmates and produce a podcast that explored everyday life as an inmate in prison. Ear Hustle this week has just gone into its 13th season. It's on episode 101. So there's a huge back catalogue that you can go and get interested in. The reason I love Ear Hustle is because it looks at so many different facets of everyday life of inmates, but it's not sensational and it doesn't feel exploitative. It's people's real life experiences told by them. And I think that's why it's so powerful to listen to and so interesting to listen to, because you're getting insights into what it is like to exist in a prison and how you exist with the world outside of it and the relationships that you have to manage within the system and try to continue with outside of it as well. There's a lot of really heavy going stuff in it at times, but actually the majority of it is about everyday occurrences. So like how you get your hair cut, who's in charge of that, like the creative ways that people work around not being able to get supplies into the system or not being able to buy things that you want to exist with, and also ways that you can be creative during your sentence as well. One of the things that I also love about it is Nigel and Erlon and their relationship and how they respect one another and they're playful with each other. It feels just like this really wonderful partnership. Erlon talking with other inmates when he is incarcerated and also after he has had his sentence commuted. It's just an insightful listen when you're listening to two people who have this shared lived experience, but they're so different as people and experience it differently. And they're kind of sharing that with one another. It's really interesting.
I think as well, like in terms of that shared experience, that a lot of the cell doors would have been closed if it was just Nigel, because I don't think that access would have been good. Like his insight is so important in it, that connection, you get it straight away with people that are serving.
There are some brilliant episodes that you could go and dip into. So in season 1, I think it's episode 2, it's called Cellies. This is all about finding that person that you feel you can share a cell with. And it really drills down into the space that you're sharing, which is 5 foot by 10 foot for two people to live in, which is, it's just incomprehensible Looking Out is an episode about Roach, who's an inmate who cares for all sorts of animals from his cell, like mice, cockroaches, lizards, I think a tarantula at one point as well. Basically, you can't go wrong if you pick a few episodes of Ear Hustle and listen to them and see what you think. They're usually about 30 minutes long, I think.
I really recommend that you take a look at their website. It's earhustlesq.com, and every episode has got just the most gorgeous artwork to sit alongside it, and it's
created by inmates, so
fantastic.
Yeah, really lovely.
I think one part of the podcast that I really like on Ear Hustle is the fact that they don't delve into people's backgrounds too much. They don't ask what they're in there for, which always feels like the obvious question that you want to know. There are a couple of episodes where they do ask, but with obviously the permission of the person they're speaking to. And there's one really powerful one where it's a woman in prison and she's describing when she helped a young mum-to-be in the cell deliver her baby. And there was no one to come in and help. Then no one was there on time. There was no one to be with her in that moment. But this woman was there for her. And the guard there said, "Your family would be really proud of you." And Nigel didn't quite understand what that meant because she didn't know the nature of why this person was in prison. And she then went on to describe the fact that she was in prison after the death of her daughter, who died tragically when she was driving the car under the influence of alcohol. And the guilt that had just, the fact that she was able to bring this life in, having taken one of her children's out of it, was so powerful. I'm welling up thinking about it. It was amazing, wasn't it? I've never heard anything quite like it. The guilt that she is carrying with her every single day is punishment enough for what happened. And it was just an outstanding piece of audio. I've never heard anything like it.
Mm-hmm. And respectfully put together. Yeah, Ear Hustle does that so beautifully. I remember when we had both listened to that and talking about the impact that it had on us. It was really amazing.
So the episode is episode 84, season 10, and it's called Karen, and it's amazing. Take a listen. Okay, my turn. Spring is here, as we well know, and I fancied taking a podcast turn for my own benefit. And I thought, I could do with a morning stretch. I think I could build this into my daily routine. So I was looking into daily yoga podcasts and typically got completely distracted, still within yoga. But I started listening to Yoga Is Dead. Nothing to do with doing yoga daily. In fact, it hasn't helped me embed this stretch in the morning at all. But I have listened to this. Yoga Is Dead. It's a 6-part series, and each episode is on average about an hour long. It's hosted by Thajal and Jaisal, who are two Indian-American yoga professionals talking about their experiences, uncovering the dirty underbelly of the yoga world. Now, if you're a white woman listening to this, you are probably going to, like me, find it quite a difficult listen at times. Episode 1 is called White Women Killed Yoga, the role that white women have played in killing what we believe yoga to be. They go really deep on cultural appropriation, whitewashing, white supremacy culture, white fragility, racism and privilege as well. But they say from the outset in this podcast that if you are white and listening and you find it a difficult listen, then good. Hold that thought, that uncomfortableness, that feeling that you've got, and ask yourself why you're feeling that way. Because it's probably very similar to how people of colour feel in an all-white environment most of the time. But why I thought this podcast was amazing, because alongside all of their discussion and, quite frankly, horrible experiences that they've had, they give constant advice about how we can all do better. It's given me an entirely new understanding of what it means to be truly diverse and how we can be more inclusive in every workspace. If you think you're doing enough, you're not, essentially, is what I got from it. If you use the demography of your area as an excuse, don't use it as an excuse, because it's not a legitimate reason. We grew up in Norfolk, where our demographic is majority white. That doesn't excuse anybody for not making spaces as inclusive as possible. And it does not mean that other smaller groups don't exist. Feminism, for example, is like only feminism when it gives every woman free speech and access to choice. So I just really loved this podcast. They've got an entire toolkit of resources and suggestions at the end of the episode as to how you can engage better with communities that you're not a part of. But it's all done in this yoga landscape, which I never thought of the yoga landscape being a particularly controversial one. One really small example that they give is a story about getting people's names right. It's such a small thing to do, and it just shows respect for that person and who they are. Getting pronouns right, another really good example. They gave this story of the fact that when they were training early on, they had sessions where they would sit in with an instructor alongside them. And her instructor wasn't introducing her at the beginning of a class, but she was to all of the other white people. She did it because she couldn't pronounce her name and didn't feel comfortable asking. And that meant, of course, that when she started teaching on the rota, no one knew who she was. And it gave her an immediate disadvantage of employability. And the fact that that sort of microaggression was happening in an area of yoga, which is meant to be all about mindfulness and other people. But they call it out on a few occasions as well. They talk about how capitalism kills yoga. They talk about how vinyasa kills yoga. Veganism killed yoga. So it's all about yoga and their experiences within that sphere. But they have an amazing resources page on all of the show notes. And if you're looking to make your business more diverse and think more about equity and things like that, then definitely take a look and a listen to it as well. They talk really candidly about this enormous subject, and I've taken a lot from it, and I want to do better.
If you've enjoyed Gas Bags this week, why not rate and review the show? That would be lovely. And you can always get in touch with us.
You can. It's hello@soundyard.org. Shall I take you back to church?
Yes, please.